And welcome to the second season of Seniors in the Building. We are four friends exploring aspects of aging together. Our conversations run the gamut from humorous to serious to maybe outrageous. We hope to hear from new voices this year as we invite guests into our conversations. Thanks for being with us. Hi, welcome to Seniors in the Building. I'm Signe.
I'm Jack.
I'm Elaine.
And I'm Rick.
Good day. Welcome to our podcast.
Jeez, good day, eh?
Okay, let's start again. Hello and welcome to our podcast, Seniors in the Building. We're glad to have you with us today. As our younger selves, we spend years acquiring knowledge, learning wisdom, sharing our gifts, developing life experiences. And that repository remains within us forever. And in our golden years, we are expected to sit in our rocking chairs on the porch and to let all that information rust in our heads. Or so it seems. But you know, some of us rebel against that scenario. Not because we only care about ourselves and our own experiences, etc. But the world seems to be losing its intergenerational connections. You know, those connections between generations. And now more than ever, there's also a movement towards active living all throughout our lives to make the most of all of our days beyond sitting on the front porch reminiscing about the good old days. So the four of us decided our conversations didn't need to heavily focus on those good old days, but to spend some time in the here and now. And one of those moments brought about doing this podcast. Today we thought we'd share what the podcast brings to our life and what listening to all kinds of podcasts can do for all of us. So we're working towards two questions. Why do we do podcasting? And why should people listen to podcasts? And how does that impact their life? So here we go.
So I was just counting up. This is our 26th episode,
right?
I believe.
Mm-hmm. I have 27. I could be off by one. Carry
okay.
On.
Yeah. Well, okay. I could. Yeah. Anyway. So, but that's quite a substantial amount. And I remember thinking, after editing the last one for season one, that it was kind of an amazing body of work. It was 20 conversations that we had. Mm-hmm. That were really fun to do. We had a lot of fun doing them, but also learning so much. I learned so much about myself and about us as a group and about just how I was thinking about aging and how I was thinking about moving into the future, and discovered many things that I hadn't realized or didn't think about or didn't know were true for me. So one of the big benefits of doing this podcast for me personally is that it has been a real platform for shaping my thinking and shaping what I do, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think for me as well, I was recalling a conversation with one of our sons, and they listened to the podcast and sort of said, wow, I don't think we ever knew that about you
exactly.
And Dad, right? That they were kind of surprised by some of our thoughts and our feelings and the life experiences that we had. And the second thing I think about this podcast, when I think about this podcast, I think about us taking the trip this summer and the pre-planning and then going through the experience of traveling and saying to myself, I've got to look through this through a different set of eyes. That what does this mean for a senior traveling? So I took my focus in a different direction. Mm. And I will readily admit that sometimes I forgot about all the fun things we could have done, and I was thinking about how tough it was to be a senior traveling in certain places, right?
Yeah, I guess thinking back to when we started meeting for breakfast, I always enjoyed the conversations and the variety of things we got into and the discussions we had, and then the suggestion to, you know, do a podcast. And there was a real challenge to that. Mm-hmm. I think I was pretty hesitant at first, but thought, well, you know, maybe it would work. Maybe we could still be sort of spontaneous and be very open with each other. And to me, it seems to have worked. And there's been a lot of, I think, wisdom that we've shared and some laughter, and like you, Signe, learned a lot of interesting perspectives and broadened my horizons too. So I think that became very real once we did this sort of bit of evaluation and decided to carry on in our second year, because for me, I think if it hadn't some positive impact, I would have simply said, no, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right. So,
but yeah.
Yeah, it's still kind of working.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. Well, it sounds, though, a bit retrospective, like it's almost as if, are we done?
No, we're just talking about what it's meant so far.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And what it's brought to our lives, right? I think that's
why we're doing it.
We're doing it. We're still doing it, right?
Yeah.
It's still bringing some life into us, right? And some joy. And
yeah, and maybe for me then that means that doing the podcast is a bit of a secondary feature. Having the stimulating conversation mm-hmm. with friends and expanding horizons is sort of the key.
Is the crux of getting together.
And then the follow-up on that is being able to do this podcast just to share it with other people and to see if others might respond. So, yeah.
I want to go back to also some feedback that we had early on. And I remember a person who was in their 30s who responded and said, hey, you don't even have to use the word seniors. You know, this is life experiences. We're all aging together, right? And so hearing your stories and hearing your reflections helps me to prepare myself to move forward in my aging process, to be more intentional about that. And I thought that was kind of interesting to get that from a 30-something perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it isn't necessarily about a particular group. It's about our life experience and how does that touch other people and affirm their own experiences of aging?
Exactly, and it addresses that intergenerational thing that you talked about us sort of losing touch with mm-hmm. in our culture, and bringing that back in, and somehow bridging those gaps because we're talking about our lives and our experiences. And that makes it real. I mean, it's real. What mm-hmm. we're talking about is the real stuff that happens in our lives.
And another funny thought about this, I was thinking about one of my kids who said, well, it'll sure keep 4 old folks busy, right? We won't have to worry about you, right? And I mean, they were joking with me, right? But it was like, okay, our kids don't have to worry about us. They got something else to do, right? Mm-hmm. That they're not just sitting on the front porch.
So when the podcast stopped coming out, then they should start worrying. Then the trouble starts,
I just want to say, I do sit in my backyard on my patio and knit. And I love doing that when it's warm. Mm. And it's. But I'm not reminiscing and I'm listening to podcasts.
Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the new way of thinking about this, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't listen to podcasts. And I was trying to figure that out. Why? Mainly because when I walk, and that's my main activity during the day, I listen to music.
Hmm.
And I find it consoling and beautiful and poetic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't listen to podcasts because it would interrupt my listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
But I do them. I mean, I enjoy doing this for the friendship component for sure. And also because I have this deep underlying anger about being old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not done yet, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I keep telling myself, even though I'm stumbling along. When I was teaching, we always had a focus on lifelong learning. So most universities have free education for alumni, for example, senior alumni. And you can take courses for almost nothing. And that was the case where I taught. And so here I am now, I'm the lifelong learner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do learn being in conversation with the three of you. Even though at times, well, see, I can slip into negativity pretty quickly.
Mm.
Oh, we hadn't noticed.
No.
Only because at times, like this particular podcast, it seems so unfocused, and I'm not sure what I have to say about it, other than I enjoy doing it. Yeah. Because it breaks up a very lonely week. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. in terms of friendships and so on. Moving here a couple of years ago, it's relatively new to us. Yeah. Even though I grew up in Selkirk, north of Winnipeg. That's why the dream I had, I was sharing earlier with Rick and Elaine and Signe about a dream I had about moving into an apartment. And one of the joys of moving into an apartment would be that you had people all around you. You'd get to know their names, mm-hmm. greet them, at times probably not without trouble, because some people can be very quirky, not me though, and troublesome. Uh-huh. Anyway, so yeah, I enjoyed doing the podcast. I really do think though we should, and we could do this throughout this podcast, encourage our listeners to tell us why they listen and what they're hearing. Mm-hmm. Because without that listener feedback, we're guessing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that would be at our email address that we have posted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll be at the end of the podcast.
There is feedback, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's opportunity for feedback and input, yes.
So please, bring it on. Good or bad.
I want to go back to something, though, you said, Jack, about loneliness and why the question why I listen to podcasts. And I think that listening to podcasts for me is a way to first of all, I like to listen to entertainers who do podcasts because they mm-hmm. always have other entertainers on, and or artists or actors or whatever. And I'm still sort of a chasing big name actor mm-hmm. person. I love to know all about what's happening with them and what they have to think about and what they say and what they're like in real life. Mm-hmm. And that's always been an interest of mine. I read all the biographies that come out. But it's a way to join into someone else's life and find mm-hmm. out what, you know, what they're doing and what their passions are. And that is something that then starts to feed mine or gets me thinking about, oh yeah, I used to really love to do that. I think I'll try that again, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. something like that. So it sort of busts some of that loneliness.
Interesting,
in terms of the feeling connected and starting to, like you said, Elaine, think about things in different ways, have a different framework that you're thinking out of, a worldview, mm-hmm. a different worldview. And podcasts do that for me. I love podcasts. I love listening to them.
It also crosses boundaries, right? It crosses boundaries, physical, geographical boundaries, when you're listening to podcasts, right?
Yes.
And so you can get a perspective of somebody from the UK or from India or China or Ottawa or whatever,
wherever.
Right?
Exactly.
Wherever, whenever, right? Even the timing of it, when they drop their podcasts at different times, you know, like we think about people in a different time zone that they drop their podcasts. Sometimes it's in the middle of the night for us. Or my favorite podcaster, of course, you know, is Heather Cox Richardson, is political, historical podcaster. But, you know, hers drops usually when she posts it or posts a commentary
essay,
of it. Yeah, the essay that is around the podcast, she'll say, this is not something to listen to lightly tonight, but wait till the morning. You know, and I mean, I just really think that helps us to understand where the person's coming from, what our own needs are in terms of listening to their stories and sharing what they have to say, mm-hmm. what they can bring to our life.
And getting their spin on the world,
mm-hmm.
I think, is
mm-hmm.
the other thing. And finding people that that you respect and you like is great. Like,
yeah.
I think it's amazing to be able to listen to people uncensored in some ways.
Because
podcasts aren't really censored. I mean, they are. I have no idea if they're censored or not. But mm-hmm. we can certainly say whatever we think here. And
well, we can to a certain extent, because the platform we use says when we post our topics and our words that we're going to use, then it has a little sentence that says, full disclosure regarding language, I think, or content, right? There's something in there.
Yeah.
And you have to check that if it's going to be...
Say 18 plus
for adults. Yeah, for adults. So, yeah.
Okay, yes. So you sort of have to put that framework in terms of who it's suitable for.
Who it's suitable for, your audience suitability. Yeah.
We've also done a bit of self-censoring.
Yes.
Yes, we have.
Around the political issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So far.
So
far. Yeah. You think we'll ever break through that self-censoring?
At some point. At some point we will. We have to talk about it some more. But
I think part of that, Jack, is also to be looking at what other people are having to listen to in the world. And if we constantly are speaking to that particular political situation in which which is disturbing us, then those who are very weary of that... And who need a break, they need a different break. And I think that's what podcasts can do for people, right? It can give them a break from what is overwhelming them, right? They can pick and choose where they want to feed themselves.
Yeah. But having said that, I don't know if we deliberately or permanently shy away from controversial topics. Maybe we couch our language sometimes in careful terms. But I don't think we necessarily try to shy away. And I don't think we're going to forever sort of censor ourselves in terms of politics. Maybe just have to frame it in ways that are, I think, wise, but also meaningful. And not polarizing. Not polarizing, if that's possible in this day and age.
I know.
Yeah, I guess the one thing is talk about the stimulation that can come from, say, creating a podcast or listening to a podcast. I think that's huge. So many people, and we've talked about this before, the sense of, lack of community, sense of isolation, sense of also thinking I'm alone in the world on this. I mean, isn't that one of the purposes of, say, support groups, right? To try and gather people together with like-minded interests or griefs or sorrows, whatever, and support one another and help them realize that they're not alone. And I think a podcast can also provide some of that sense that, hey, there's others who are thinking similarly to me or have the similar concerns, and maybe I could listen to this and gain something.
I was also thinking about podcasts as one of those contemporary kinds of mediums that we connect to. But thinking back as a child, we had the radio.
Right.
And the radio shows would come on, and I still recall,
How old are you?
Yeah, I know. But I think because those were times in which we, as a family, those of us who were old enough to sit around in the chair next to our parents, and especially I sat around with my mom listening to the Grand Old Opry every Saturday night.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, right, to hear the singers, but also to hear something about their private lives and the story around their songs, and then to have a commercial interruption when they would describe somebody's soap or somebody's cleaner or whatever, and we would just, it would just be hilarious to kind of laugh at it, right, because they had everything on the radio, right? And I think that's what it's like for the podcast now too, that people can sit around as, and again, I'm giving an example from our family, but one of our sons and their spouse listen to the podcast together as they do puzzling, right? And so this is a family kind of
communal experience
right? It's not just, one person just sitting there listening. Not to say that that isn't important too, right? But that's another aspect of this communal conversation, right?
Yeah. When I traveled from... when my son moved from Los Angeles to Toronto, and I drove with him, we did Route 66. Traveled. We listened to a lot of podcasts, and they were his, the ones that were coming from his phone. So that was a window into sort of where he was thinking and what was interesting him. And I found that fascinating, kind of listening to his podcasts with him, the ones he liked, and. And then talking about them and having just having that moment of him being able to share with me some of his passions. It was a good trip, long but good.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's part of the piece, again, trying to not just expand other people's horizons, but have our own expanded as well. And I know we've already covered that in this conversation, but I think that's a key part. I guess the other part that kind of, I don't know, this maybe sounds like ego stroking a bit, but the idea that we're at the age we are at, and we're engaging in a relatively new type of format of, you know, sharing information. You know, we're not sending letters to our grandchildren or stuff like that. We're recording something on some fairly new technology and doing it in a different way. It's always, the reason I share that, it's always interesting sometimes when you share with someone else, or we found that, and they look at us in our age and say, oh, you're doing a podcast at your age? You know, just it's almost like, you know, a dog that can walk and talk, right? on its hind legs. It's fascinating. Oh my gosh, can someone actually do that at your age? So maybe there's a bit of an ego factor tied in there that, yes, we can do this.
We
are capable. Yeah, that's right.
I think, too, it's important to note that podcasts are old.
Yeah, right. They're new to our generation. Yeah.
But that's new.
Okay. But also, I think I read that old people listen to podcasts. Mm. Not so much young people anymore. They're all on TikTok and YouTube. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I always felt was lacking in our podcast, not to be an excessive critic because it's not natural to me, there should be laughter there.
I was trying to be kind, but okay.
is that we don't have video, mm-hmm. such that we could put it up on YouTube. Because I'm sure people, if they listen to more than one podcast, would be curious who is speaking, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In terms of having a visual. The other thing that comes to mind, just so I'm not left out of the conversation, and I don't feel left out, but I really don't have much to say other than this, and that is during the teaching, my 30 years of teaching, at the beginning we were a church-related college, mm-hmm. and there was always a tension every time I would present in front of a class between informational and transformational intentions. Mm. What was my intent? To share information or to help deepen faith? Mm. In the Christian tradition. Hmm. And it was never stated explicitly institutionally that this transformational component was a role, hmm. but it was sort of in the air and assumed, at least I thought, and maybe I misunderstood all those years, that both were equally important. Hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when we do podcasts, I'm always thinking of both. That is, what kind of information can we share that would intellectually add to people's knowledge, but also what kind of transformation might take place through listening to four old farts talk about their lives,
uh-huh.
and uh-huh. what the wisdom we've accumulated. And we have accumulated wisdom. And so the adage that keeps coming back to me as to why I do a podcast, it's because I'm not done yet.
Uh-huh. Yes, uh-huh. right.
Though at times I do feel like I'm done.
Yeah.
But that could be transformational to others.
To hear.
You're not done yet.
Yes.
Well.
Uh-huh. They would say be done maybe as well.
But there might be others who are saying, yeah, I'm not done yet either. So what could I be thinking about in terms of changing my own life and my own life perspective, right? You know, it usually takes somebody or something to motivate us to do some change, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty... So if you see somebody who suggests a very simple exercise program, right, and you think, oh, I can accomplish that, and then go and do it for a bit of time, you've taken that step to change something, to transform your life, right? And I think that's the same mm-hmm. with... whatever we would introduce here in this conversation.
I remember when I was working and I was working as part of the IT department, actually, because I was implementing an electronic record, which is odd because I come from a clinical background, not an IT background, but anyway. And remember the then the last podcast I talked about my running journey, and when I started that, I couldn't run 15 seconds until 3 or 4 months later. But at any rate, as I was progressing and went to my trainer, I saw more and more of the guys in the gym that I worked with, and they when I retired. And we had a luncheon for me. Three of those guys came up to me and said, "You know, you really inspired me with your workouts and with you with your running, and it inspired me to do it myself." And these were guys who were techies, right? They just sat in a chair all day in front of a computer. And so when they that was affirming for me that that my what I did had inspired them to do the same, and they were in great shape, and they were one of them was running marathons.
And that's without you haranguing them.
I didn't say a word.
Didn't say a word. Just what
just
you were
did
doing.
Did my thing. Yeah.
You were an influencer.
I guess so.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. We're using the language too. Oh boy, have we ever grown up.
But I think that resonates kind of with what you were saying, Elaine, is that you don't know, you have no idea what your actions or behavior, how that's inspiring to others.
Or voice, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I still say, Jack, I think your students who come back to you all voice that you were an inspiration to them, and
because they wouldn't bother having, but they wouldn't have the conversation with you, right?
Right.
I mean, I think back to when I was in teaching, right? And I first went to my student teaching practicum, and there was a young woman in the back seat who barely engaged in whatever the teacher was doing, right? And then I introduced the concept back then, which was fairly new, were circles and centers or whatever, and
learning centers,
and you'd move from path to path, right? And at the end of the year, when the teacher was writing up the report cards, he said to me, "I want you to look at this girl's records." And so he pulled them out, and she'd been just about failing everything, and suddenly in that 3 month period, she went from D's and E's up to B's.
Yeah.
And he said, "This is because you engaged with her, and she got inspired that you actually even cared about
a transformation.
It was such a transformation." Yeah. And I looked at him, and I cannot even recall what I did for that person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, you know, but you think about that, like every time you open your mouth up or where you're at, like, you know, you know, I'm a female leader, and sometimes I forget and I want to avoid being the female leader. But then there are other younger leaders who are saying to me, "You can't do that. You have to continue to be this person because you're a presence that we need in this role here. And we need you to be there to lead us or to get us to stay on the path."
Yeah, which I think is a good insight, that what's the intention? I mean, and taking, like, your intention is to be the kind of teacher that you thought would be effective. I think translating that to us doing the podcast, our intention isn't to somehow make ourselves famous or make ourselves household names in that. I think there's a genuine sincerity here that we just want to share some of the experiences we've had in life and share them with others. And without sort of being, I don't know, in too much in terms of forcing or anything like that. Go ahead.
But it's more than sharing. It's talking about the struggles and the challenges and the other things that we faced and are facing, and what that means and how we're making our way through our days ahead. I think it's really. I think that's what it's meant for me to do this podcast, is really starting to shape, to help me shape my way into the future. Thinking differently about aging, thinking differently about my own efficacy and my own sort of
Yeah.
presence.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's critical because in this day and age, I mean, there's this challenge, first of all, because of our age of, you know, facing, like you said, the senior years and what that means with dealing with aging. But then there's the broader social and political context right. we're in, and it's fairly dire right now. And
it is.
I think maybe if we can express a bit of sense of hope and sense of engagement, and I think the term we used way early on in a podcast is agency, mm-hmm. that regardless of
that's
age.
That's the word I was
think,
looking for.
I think that's critical, you know, that we can sort of share that and maybe bring a bit of light to other people as well as maybe to ourselves as we share this podcast together.
Yeah, I think it is inspiring to think about the impact we might have on a few lives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe not many, but even a few.
Yeah.
In terms of inspiration.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys inspire me just by what you've been saying. Mm-hmm. And I'm mm-hmm. serious about that. That we're not done yet, and we do have wisdom to share.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, though, as a former minister myself, and as two current ministers, whether or not we should be not too explicitly, because religion is everywhere. The point is that there may be people who we don't know outside of our family circles, mm-hmm. and I hope there would be, who are lonely and disenfranchised.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but think about the gospel message and mm-hmm. Jesus's ministries to the poor and the outcast,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and that those poor and the outcast may be far more than we realize who could be listening and find inspiration. And I'm not the person to use the word inspiration too often.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, that popped into my head yesterday. CBC replayed an interview they had with Jane Goodall a few mm-hmm. years back.
Right.
And near the end, she shared some of her faith spiritual insights, the inspiration that she gets, especially since she went from just being working in the scientific research field to becoming more of an activist. And it was very interesting to listen to, partly because it gave a bit of insight into a person that I wasn't aware of, that spiritual faith side, but also then the idea that this was something that could be significant, inspirational, whether a person is a person of faith or not. And she framed it in a way that is generally not what you call sort of missional or trying to convert people, but just sharing her own experience and trying to provide, I think, for herself, but also for the listener, that there's a sense of hope and inspiration there.
Yeah.
Jack, thanks for that, because that conversation piece there, because I came into this podcast thinking this has got to be something that I've not done before, and I don't want to talk about church or my church life or my role as a pastor. I wanted to talk about me as a person and to, you know, sort of think about that, right? So I have worked to not bring my particular face of religion into these conversations, right? Maybe others think I have, but I haven't. But now, when you say those words, and I'm like, huh, should have thought there was something about what Jesus would say here about this work. Because you're right. It isn't so much about the calling, right? To a particular church role. It's a calling to be a human being in the
yes,
world.
Yes.
And when you talk about the vulnerable and the people who are alone and those kinds of things, that's the calling that I sense about, that's the focus I want in this conversation, right?
Yeah.
It is to be about reaching out to others and mm-hmm. to be a human, to mm-hmm. be human
to
with
share,
them and
share
for them.
Humanity.
And yeah, share that humanity. And I think that's a good way to say that, but now you've kind of transformed my thinking. That, oh my gosh, okay, so here I am in the
well, maybe we
pastoral role.
We have said earlier that we're going to have guests. Seriously, someone who
yeah.
is experiencing outcastness
yeah. mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. forlornness and loneliness and destitution.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm having a little bit of trouble with this because I'm wondering who are we to define who that person is?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Who's to say I'm not sort of lonely and destitute and impoverished in some ways? That
absolutely we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And feeling left out that isn't, that it, so I think we need to be careful about that, because we're all struggling in some ways. We're all looking for that way to connect and be connected. And
yeah, good point.
And it's, mm-hmm. it's you know, who's to say that that person who is vulnerable in terms of housing and income and food doesn't have a community?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Already.
Yeah. Very well.
And mm-hmm. and a community that supports them. So I think we need to be careful about how we think about mm-hmm. who we are and who others are.
Who our audience is, even.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
only the person themselves can speak to their own inner state.
Yeah.
And what's in their heart and their struggles. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're right. We need to be cautious about caricaturing, I guess, mm-hmm. the lonely and destitute.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, let's face it, we are privileged beyond imagination from the perspective of billions of people, I might say. And I don't think I overstate the number.
No.
Mm-hmm. Who are in dire straits in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole issue of compassion, especially with what's happening globally with the turns in various countries to the far right,
yeah,
compassion seems to be lacking.
Yeah.
And
the migration of people is increasing.
Of people all around the world.
All
and that's
around
only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how does that relate to our podcast? If we get back to the topic here.
Well, to me, it relates in the sense that I try to imagine who might be listening.
Sure.
Beyond mm-hmm. family and friends,
mm-hmm.
people we don't know.
Yeah.
And I would love to expand further into that realm, but I've taken on sort of the leadership role of publicity. So I'm hoping anybody have suggestions, let us know, please, about how to expand our listener base, because I will run with
yeah.
it.
And again, my thought there is we expand the listener base. My sense is not so we can get more listeners per se, but mm-hmm. so we feel that we have something valuable to share and we'd like to share it with others. So. That's my sense of it. So
well, and that's the thing too. I mm-hmm. do believe we have something to offer.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
and it's a shame not to spread it more broadly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the dilemma, isn't it?
It's yes.
It's the
don't make it about us.
Yeah, it's the why are we doing this podcast?
Oh, yeah,
why podcast?
Point. Yeah, mm-hmm.
and yet, you know, it's kind of a two-edged sword there.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back to one of our initial conversations about podcasts and, you know, why we do podcasts, right? That we're not doing this because we are looking for a number of followers, but that we're looking for topics of conversation that some people will seek out, right? Because we all know that we don't listen to the same podcast week after week after week, right?
Right.
We might pick and choose the topics that are in... Mm-hmm. in that podcast archive, right? And kind of go with that. So in some ways, you know, our conversation should have a wide repertoire of topics, right?
Yeah.
Because then
yeah.
it gives multiple opportunities for people to be engaged.
To find what resonates with
right, because I pick mm-hmm. topics. I'm one of those people who picks a topic, right?
For sure. I
don't
listen to podcasts linearly as they come
out.
I choose the one that looks interesting to me.
Or a recommendation from somebody online or a friend or whatever that kind of leads
me to
it.
To listen to this podcast.
So,
yeah.
So again.
So what are we saying? What have we said here?
Yeah, what have we said about listening?
Why listening, we do the doing, podcast? And listening.
Yeah, listening and doing. But I think to sort of wrap it up, we hope you're listening, but we also want you to know that we're trying to engage in such a way that it's helpful and inspirational to other people. And we want to encourage you to be engaged in listening to not just our podcast, but other podcasts, because they bring, you know, an emotional kind of enrichment. They bring spiritual enrichment, and they bring companionship, and they bring mental stimulation. So there's some really big benefits to listening to podcasts.
And hope.
And to give us feedback, too, so it can help us with our podcast.
Yeah, or if you want to know how to listen to a podcast, you can send us a message on that too as well. So thanks for listening today. Thanks for spending this time with us on Seniors in the Building. If you enjoyed today's conversation, we'd love for you to follow us. Join our growing community and keep sharing in the stories, wisdom, laughter, and life as seniors. Until next time, stay curious and seek hope. You can find us under Seniors in the Building on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and possibly wherever you listen to other podcasts. Our email is forseniorsinthebuilding@gmail.com. That's the numeral 4, followed by Seniors in the Building, lowercase, all one word. We'd love to hear from you. You can also leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. We'd like to thank Thomas Waschenfelder for our logo design, and Amy Waschenfelder and collaborator Natasha Franzblow for our musical jingle for the podcast. We really appreciate their input and the support of all of our families in this endeavor, for listening, for reviews, for tech support, and love.